from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who doesn't know his Jamie Lynn Siegler or Lynn Siegler from his Mark Lynn Baker, like, for reals. And if none of that makes sense, it doesn't matter, because it's time for Sleep With Me. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I, ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message, or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like, I do need, like, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much.
I also want to thank the beautifully and wonderful people, beautifully wonderful people that work on the show. Chris Posty, Poster Center for Sounds Like an Earful Studios, edited this episode. Jonathan Mams on Lullabies. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. There's somebody else. And my dear Scooter on Twitter. Thank you, everybody that supports the show, listens to it. Thanks for spreading the word in your podcasting apps. And I want to thank the listeners have their own Facebook group. And I want to thank the moderators over there, Julian, Jennifer, Stacey, Lauren, Keith, and Summer, and Sarah. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to try to do, what I'm going to attempt to do, is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes, stuff, whatever, anything, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that. So I'm going to smooth this safe place. I'm going to pat it down. I try to take a nice, soothing tone, creaky, dulcet, but soothing tones. I got a utility belt. I have overpacked and chaotic utility belt with lots of distracting things in there. Kind of like if dogs had birthday parties like toddlers did. I mean, I know some do, but most don't, because that would be chaos. But if it wasn't quite the chaos, it would be in reality. And you showed up at a dog's birthday party, like, I would be the one with the utility, but you'd need someone there with the utility belt. I guess no matter what, you say treats, I got gluten-free treats, I got those, I got treats, I got these ones, I got, I got portable water bowls, I got, believe me, bags, I got ankles, bags strapped to my ankles. Squeakers and squonkers, I have a bunch, So that would be for dogs. For this is for humans. So it's just a bedtime story. If you're new, here's the structure of the show. Here's what to expect. We start off with a few minutes of business, mostly because we're supported by listeners and trying to cut down on the business in front of the show. So 4 to 6 minutes of business. They got to do that at the top, obviously. Then we have an intro,
intros are like 12 to 15 minutes long, where I kind of set the mood, like warm it up, like just like Chris would, like warm it up. I'm about to, I'm in the middle of it actually. And really, putting people to sleep is what I was born to do. So that's what I'm going to do. That's this. And then, so there's an intro, which you could brush your teeth. You can, you know, call your animals, make your bed, unmake your bed, or just go to sleep. Some people skip ahead to the story, which is coming up here after the intro. And I think that's like, that's it for the structure of the show. You also don't, it's a podcast you don't really need to listen to. You know, if you're a regular listener, just think about it tomorrow, you know, check our show notes or whatever. But if you're new, like, you don't really need to pay attention. I'll be here to keep you company. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. But you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here about an hour for you to be your boyfriend, because I've been there. And also, like I've been trying to figure out this synchronicity thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Usually, we try to avoid synchronicity. I think even that Police album was called Synchronicity. I remember my cousin had that. I think that was a good one. But, you know, probably not. But unless you're, like, I guess, like, Sting doesn't really sleep because he's into that tantric stuff. So he's up 12 hours anyway when he's in bed. And I mean up. Boom. But I don't know if that Police album. But I've been thinking about synchronicity. I experienced a strange version of it. And that's, I joked about it in the teaser, Mark Lynn Baker level synchronicity. And you never know if it was an idea planted in your mind or, so I'll talk about this about the intro. I'll try to make it as a metaphor for the podcast. And I also joked about Jamie Lynn Sigler because that was just fit with the Lynns and the they're both like connected to HBO currently. But so I've been, here's the thing, I had an intro recently where I couldn't remember who Mark Lynn Baker's name was, I apologize publicly, and I guess maybe because I was more of a Balky fan, as I talked about. I don't know when that intro came out, but here's where was the seed planted, or was this synchronicity, or whatever, I don't know what that word is. I'll stop using it just in case I'm using it incorrectly. But so then I've been watching a TV show on HBO, The Leftovers. It's about the day after Thanksgiving and packing everything up and splitting it up. But I finished season two, and there was a tease about Mark Lynn Baker, like in a viral kind of, and he was playing Mark Lynn Baker. Mark Lynn Baker was the kind of the straight man on Perfect Strangers, I don't know, the Abbott or the, I think Costello was the straight man in Abbott and Costello. You know, the boring vanilla person, the Felix in the Oscar, whichever one. But so anyway, I couldn't remember who he was, but I had a couple Perfect Stranger stories that I shared in the intro, or maybe it was an episode, I can't remember. But so it was recently, because it's still on my mind. But so then he appeared in that one. Then he's been playing like a bigger role in season three. Like he's an expert at packing stuffing so it doesn't dry out in the season three of The Leftovers. And even introducing characters to greater stuffing, I think somebody with a new company called Turbo Tupperware, which is probably patent pending or something. But I said to myself, well, that's strange, because I couldn't figure out who Mark Lynn Baker was. And I didn't even know it was coming, but they had the Perfect Strangers opening song to open the episode of The Leftovers. And then I was like, holy mackerel. But then it might be coalescing or something. Or it could be that Damon Lindelof, who I really look up to. All my heroes are, within my age range or younger. I think he's probably a couple years younger than me, but, you know, look up to him anyway. And he was on a show with two people I look up to, John August, Script Notes with John August and Craig Mace, and I constantly pitch that. But things interesting, things screenwriting and things interesting to screenwriters, I think. And they were talking about The Leftovers, and so I don't know if at any point he mentioned, or Craig, you could see Craig or John, both children of the 80s too, or maybe it was in the 90s, I don't know. mentioning Marklin Baker, but I'm not sure they did. And then they planted a seed which would flower and then reflower once again, like a perennial in my brain. I think I do have some perennials in my brain. I mean, like more root vegetables. But so, I don't know, this podcast is kind of like that. Like, I want to plant the seed that you're here, you're welcome. I want you to be comfortable. I'm glad you're here, and I want to help put you to sleep. Like, and sometimes if you're new, it takes a few episodes for that kind of seed to be planted where it says, okay, yeah, this podcast doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it kind of barely makes sense. You know, just enough to distract you from whatever was keeping you awake and help carry you off into dreamland. You know, this podcast doesn't so much put you to sleep as keep you company while you fall asleep. I mean, in some sense, if you're comfortable holding your hand or walking at your side while you cross over the threshold from wake to sleep, or I could just be talking and you're hearing me in the distance slowly fade away. So, I mean, that's basically the podcast. It's not like a... Marklin, like I haven't finished the season, but he did a great job, really good job. Marklin Baker, Marklin Siegler. I don't know if Jamie Lynn Siegler, maybe, like, who knows, like if Damon Lindelof has a Lynn, he says, well, I'd prefer to work with people with the middle, with the Lynn in their name. I don't know. There's probably a lot of other ones I can't think of. Sherilyn Finn, but that's spelled differently, and that's part of her first name, and it's probably all mispronounced by me. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't waste time just trying to think of other celebrities, particularly actors and actresses with Lynn in the middle of a name. Jamie Lynn Spears, though, there's one. I mean, I thought of one, so that's pretty not bad, huh? And no, Jan Michael Vincent does not count because that's like not Lynn. So anyway, like, I guess what I always say is I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you testing this podcast out, giving a shot if you're new. I hope it helps you. It doesn't work for everybody. But the reason I made the show is because I've been there, like thinking, pondering, but planning, regretting, reliving, all that stuff, tossing and turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. I got all those. And for you, it might be different, but here's the thing. Like, I do care. It's a weird kind of caring, digital caring. And I really pour my heart and my soul into the show. And like I said, I wish it worked for everybody because you deserve a good night's sleep. So thanks for coming by. And I really hope I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep, all right? Let's keep the show going. Before we get started,
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Go. All right, we're here with another episode of After the Glass Slipper, the tale of Cinderella's stepmother after Cinderella became, like, after the whole Cinderella story. Cinderella, she did have a Cinderella story. Like in this season three of it, but it's not a serial season. It's episodic. And whatever those things that come in a box are that sit up on the top cabinet of your kid's classroom, modular, this series comes in modules. So if this is your first After the Glass Slipper series, here's what you need to know. This is, it follows it to Agatha, who was originally, well, I guess at some point she wasn't Cinderella's stepmother, but then she became Cinderella's stepmother. Cinderella then moved out. Like, we know all that part. But then Agatha said, well, I still want to be royal. Like, that was a whole deal in the first place. And eventually through season one, she earned Cinderella's trust. She became part of, like, she, like, not like on GOT, like the hand of the queen, but close. And then in season two, Cinderella was out of town working on positive stuff, and Agatha ran the kingdom for her. And that had some challenges, and the fairy godmother, she's been in and out, but the whole fairy kingdom got kind of disrupted, not by technology, not by an app, but you silly gooses. And actually not by silly gooses either. How about a silly goose app? What would it do? I don't know. But so season three, we find her towards the close of season two, she became a pit of lentils, and the ultimate act of that a heroine makes. I think that was part of the heroism. She became a pit of lentils. And I do mean a swimming pool full of lentils with human consciousness. And probably, again, we're talking about magic, not technology. So she's a pit of lentils. She's still a conscious human and wanting to live a full life. She wants to flourish like we all kind of do sometimes. And so, I think that's about, yeah, she's a pit of lentils. Now she's teaching I don't know if it's college level class, but it seems like a pretty high level class with a co-teacher, kind of exploring the myths and the folklore of, the fairy people, because they've had to assimilate into the human town. And, you know, it's not easy. And so they're trying to, as a class, explore the folklore of the fairy godparents, because they had children, so there would be fairy godparents. Anyways, you know what I mean. It's a class. And it's modular because every class covers, a different myth, none of which Agatha or I are familiar with. So you say, interesting. Those myths are a bit like half myth, half fever dream. I mean, when I'm re-listening, I'm like, what the? A clam king, eh? Okay, makes sense. Lives at the bottom of the sea, not in a pineapple. So that's the series, and it's nice. It's nice. She's a nice woman. She learned. She's on her fourth act or whatever. Really learned from her mistakes and trying to. Now embrace this a new role she has, and she really seems to enjoy the myths, and we can enjoy them through her. And now is the person that introduces the episode.
Okay, sorry.
Whew. It's the ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. It's time for another episode. I want to say Nuns in Space, but it's after. The Glass Slipper. So, my friend, did you want to go to the... you want to go... after I record it, you want to go to a hot pot? You want to go to a hot pot? Well, I think there's... I would prefer Korean barbecue. Okay, we'll talk about it. How about you go and bring me back something? Because I got to record this. But I want to keep company with you, my friend. Antonio Banderas, you want to hang out with me? Oh, boy. Okay, here's Afterglass Slipper, everybody. Hello, everyone. This is Agatha, your blood man. Do you like that when I introduce my... He's asleep, everyone. I'm in the room with the baby and the leather man who's in his... He's his own baby. Now, some people are wondering, who's this leather man? And why is he your lover? I think I mentioned that once already. And I would say he is the man that I love, but he is also a letter. He's not a human. He is a letter man. And off of my classroom, I can move my lentil, I can flow into another room in a chamber, which we share, and we have pumps because I like to go up and view. When you work with magic users, it really being a pit of lentils is not the pits. But the letter man is the man who won my heart with his sweetness as he lies here next to me sleeping. But he is a man, he is a dashing. Oh, do you know what... dashing looks like? Imagine an inner letter where the contents and also the construction are dashing. And that is my letterman. And I think it's that simple. Like, can you, there are forms of love that are beyond human understanding. And I don't know if that's, I just understand the letter man. As I lie here next to him, he sleeps so soundly. And the baby's asleep too. And I like to come in after I know they've gone down for the naps. And I like to tell them about my day. And a little secret here from Agatha to all of you. When you tell people about the day, your day when you're asleep, you know, there is the extra thing of like, could I get some acknowledgement here? But there isn't the pitfall of people that aren't good at that. You say, do you need to be whatever, like whatever, you know, acknowledged for your day? Oh, that was a long day, sounds like. You know, you don't have to worry about them saying, well, I wouldn't have, you know, why'd you do it that way? So when you tell them when they're asleep, they're the best listeners. And when you're here with a letter man and a baby sleeping soundly, I don't know, it's just a pleasure. So I'm going to whisper to all of them. So my day, today was another day with class and with Mrs. Shelley. And it was an interesting day, as all days can be when you're a teacher. And we had a Friedrich and a Carmela who were going to go over a myth today. And it was another interesting myth. And I say, which of these tales is really how fairy godparents and fairy people came to our world? I don't understand it, but then Shelley says, you're trying to overgrasp, you know, let the myth live within you. And I said, this is more like a tale, Shelley, than a myth. And I don't want a tale living in me. And the children laughed at that one. But I think that was a beautiful turn of phrase that Shelley had. I said, well, I don't know if I would let it visit me and come in for tea. So let's have a little tea with this myth. And it was one I thought I knew from my childhood. And, it also does not portray. And Shelley huffed a few times because they said, and I said, how long will we live in a world where stepmothers are, and she said, well, this myth is probably 1,200 years old. And I said, oh, great. I said, could I blame the myths about stepmothers for my behavior? And she said, and I said, okay, go ahead, children. So they told a tale. It was it starts out very similar, very, you know, it was a brother and a sister. And I forget their names. We'll just say Gunther and Carrie. I won't even remember that because I don't remember what the children said the names were. And they lived with the father and the mother, and they were all very happy. And they lived, you know, in that picturesque, on the edge of the picturesque woods, as so many of these tales do, on the outskirts of a town. And they seemed very happy. Their last name, and they had a mother, and their name was Nucleus. The Nucleus, that was the name, the last name. Again, I said, maybe Gunther Nucleus and Carrie Nucleus. But so they lived there, and they were all very happy, and they lived a normal life. And then the mother, she didn't really announce it so much as just do it. She said, well, I'd like to go live with the sprites that live within atmosphere and beyond. And she went and did that, and the father and the two children, it wasn't easy, because they said, well, we miss our mother. But the father tried to give as much love to the two children as he could, and then he also poured himself into his work. Now, he was a cooper, like a barrel maker, and he was so upset at the choice that it made something click in him, and he began to design this new kind of barrel, particularly for the rain, because that was what he blamed for his wife's decision to go live with Atmosphere in the atmosphere. And he designed this new barrel with a metal bottom in some way where it wouldn't burn the wood. I don't, like, some way to access the heat or something. But you could put the barrel on a fire and heat up the water within the barrel right there instead of pouring it out or anything. And he quickly grew to great acclaim, and he could charge almost whatever he wanted for these barrels for a time. And then, he built up not a great fortune, but quite a nice fortune. But he was also working and spending time with his children, but he was a bit lonely. And this is where the stepmother comes in. A woman, in a few towns over, heard about this great barrel, and she said, "Oh, he's seen." And I can see this is a myth, remember. This didn't probably really happen. It could have, Shelley said, but it could be possibly based on something. And the stepmother didn't, she was like a very, she was good at keeping him company. And she came and she was very, very attractive. And she was very intelligent, and she helped him with his barrel business and helped him stay. But he said, "Well, I'm not ready." And she said, "Well, I'll wait till you're ready." And the children and her didn't quite get along because, they saw her, and he said, "The children don't like you." And she said, "Well, they're having trouble adjusting." And so for a while, she just waited it out, and she was smart. And then eventually he grew to enjoy her company. And then his barrel business, turns out you could just copy him. So people were buying his barrels, and eventually they took his idea, and they could make it cheaper. But he had already saved much of what he had, so it wasn't a disaster. But then he had more time, and he would just spend his time with her. So he said, "Okay, let's get married." And she became a stepmother, and she went from being kind of neutral to the children to being, tiring of them. And the children did not like her, and they didn't have much to say about it. But then their father caught an allergy, and the stepmother, he was restricted to bed rest, and he was always in bed. And the children were always like, "Father, father," and the stepmother would be like, "Let your father rest, blah, blah, blah." So the children, they started wandering further and further afield. And the children were intelligent because they said, "Well, stepmother, why aren't you doing more to find using father's money to find cures for him?" And she said, "Well, I am." So then the children, they didn't have any money. They started traveling, just one or two towns away, and asking, "Oh, our father has a strange allergy, keeps him in bed." And they would go from alchemists and tincture makers, and there's other words that are escaping me, but people making up different potions, and almost had the word, but they would try things out, and they kept coming up short, and even sometimes the father would feel better for a little while, but then he would say, "Well, I've got the sniffles again. Let me go take a sleepy poo." And the children did notice how kind people were outside of the house, and they said, "Well, what if we find a nicer person for father to marry, like a nurse? We could get a nurse," but they couldn't get any money to hire a nurse. And they said, and finally they went to this one stall, and all the woman had was cool water. And they said, she said, "What is the problem with you two seem down?" And they told her their tale of woe. And they said, "Do you have anything to," and she said, "All I have is cool water. By the time you get to your father, it'll be warm water, but you could give him some." And they said, "Well, do you think we should find someone to replace?" And she said, "Well, deep in the woods, I've heard of a great alchemist. They could do a great many things. A legendary, legendary alchemist, deep, deep, deep in the woods." And she said, "Bring your father to this cool water. It'll be lukewarm, but maybe try to find that alchemist." And so they returned home, and the father was really under the weather, and they gave him the water, and he was really not feeling well at all. And the water, he said, "Thank you, I love you both very much." And the stepmother said, "Well, we need to go into town tomorrow to prepare some things." And the children said, "I don't know what you're doing." And she said, "Go to your rooms and, do not come out." And then they listened, and then someone came, and it was an official or something, a barrister, and they were talking. And it ended up, the children were smart enough to hear this, that they needed, she needed them. Like, they were still the heirs to her father's, like, and they needed, it was a very bureaucratic process for her to gain control of the father's money. If the children, you know, were to grow up, and I guess, like, the father would don't, he didn't totally trust the stepmother with his money, I guess. And this is a pitfall, like, behaving this way is not easy and not advisable, these choices people make under pressure. And so then the children, they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so they said, well, the brother said to the sister, we should find the alchemist. And the sister said, tonight, and she brother said, maybe. And the sister said, well, actually, yeah, that's a great idea, because she won't be able to do anything unless she finds us. And they snuck into the father's room, and they kissed him in his forehead, and they headed out into the deep forest. And they wandered for a long, long time, and they got more and more tired, and became lost and thirsty and hungry and tired of walking, so tired of walking, you know, through the beautiful woods, you know, seeing deer and seeing leaves and branches and things. And finally they came upon a cabin when they were really, really at the end of their wits. And they went in and they searched the cabin, and they found a, like, that had a well in the back, and they filled up a cauldron, and there was some wood, and they built up a fire, and they, you know, got the water, and, you know, just like the father taught them, boiled away the water and then drank some water. And they stayed there, you know, with the fire going. They were warm at night, and they searched, they found a couple things to eat there, but then they found some berries and some roots that they had known about that were good to eat. But also when they had found the cabin, they found a root cellar, and when they opened the door, this was early on, but I skipped over it for some reason, they opened the root cellar, and the only thing coming up from there was like a bubbling, gurgling sound, and the sister said, it's probably flooded with water. It had a strange, musty smell to it. And the brother just didn't like the gurgling sound. So they said, okay, let's just avoid the root cellar. And they closed it back up. But then again, they ran short on food. And they said, well, like, we got to check the root cellar now. Because if there's roots, you know, if there's roots or goods down there, we'd be fools not to look. Just because there's gurgling and a bubbling sound. And so they opened the root cellar, and at first they were a little nervous, so they creeped there and looked there, and they even brought a rope in case it was filled with water. But they, as they went down the stairs, they went one step at a time, and they realized it was not a root cellar, but a laboratory, a giant underground basement, and it was a laboratory, and there was things gurgling and things bubbling. And there was jars of powdered ingredients and ground ingredients. There was jars of pickled things and, you know, different things. And they said, this must be the place where the alchemist lived. And there was a great alchemist furnace, and there was beakers, and there was bubbling still going on. From the pickling, you say, well, bubbling and fermenting, there was things being fermented. Who knows what those were? Maybe they were for the alchemist to drink, but there was no sign of the alchemist. And there was also nothing to eat. So they started looking around, and, you know, they had already been in there a few days. So they said, you know, everything looks still functional, but abandoned. They said the alchemist must be gone. And then they found the great table where the alchemist could work. And they looked, you know, because it was very cool and they were still children. They said, oh, look at this bubbling, and this one twists around through glass.
And so they looked at those things and they play, you know, they even got to playing. But then the sister said, brother, look at this book here on the table. And the brother, he said, what does it say? And the sister, who was a better reader, said, how to make a W-Y-F, a wife for her. And she opened the book and it told a tale of both alchemy and magic. And she says, maybe the alchemist was lonely. And the boy said, a bit like father, but father found a different kind of alchemy. And then they found another book under that one, How to Deal with Mother. And they looked in there. And then they also found the alchemist's diary. And they kind of read about how the alchemist was so successful, but he had troubles with his mother. And she also was like, wanting to know why he didn't have a wife. This was his journal entries. I mean, they're trying to keep it private, but also like, what alchemy, what is that? The mother would say, why can't you do something with your life? Why did you live out in that cabin? And then the mother started to say, if you're not going to be married, I will find a wife for you. And, you need to brush your teeth. He was very, upset with his mother. And I also think this is the tame version. Like, the mother was very temperamental. And I guess the children said, the last few entries were that he wasn't able to figure out the final spell to deal with mother. Like, he was missing ingredients. He said, I don't know. I don't think I want it. I just want to be an alchemist. Why isn't there a spell for that? Neither one of these fixes my issue for a man that just loves alchemy. And it just wasn't good enough for mother. And so he was going to acquiesce. And so another great was lost from alchemy to traditional family values or whatever. So that was, the children didn't understand that, but I said, well, that seems like a great loss. And just as they were finishing the last entry, they heard the door of the cabin close and open and close. And it was, they heard a voice calling out, and it was the stepmother, and they froze, and they said, she said, children, your father needs you. You must come home. Are you in here? I've been searching, and I saw your footprints. I know, because I knitted, sewed your shoes myself. And I see the inn and the footprint for Nukla. So are you in here still, children? And the children said, okay, what should we do? And they said, hurry, your father wants to see you. So they said, oh, father, we'll do anything for father. And they came up the stairs from the laboratory, and the stepmother said, well, what's down there? And they said, the root cellar. We've been sleeping down there. And she believed it because they said, we're pretty hungry. And she said, well, come home and eat see your father. His allergies, double allergies. He's very sneezy as well. So come quickly. And so they went back with the stepmother. And she said to them on the way back, too, if you think I'm a fool, I've placed a lock on your door now. So she said, and tomorrow morning we will head back, and we'll head into town and deal with things. I know you're on to me, but I'm on to you. And so they returned home, and the father was sneezy and sniffly, and they helped him, and they kissed him. And, they said, well, this isn't that easy. And then the stepmother said, go to your rooms. Tomorrow we'll go into town and deal with the transfer of whatever the relationship proxy 51 or 82 57 forms or whatever. And the children went into the room. And they said, what are we to do? What are we to do? You know, like, and they said, the sister said, well, there's nothing to help father. And the brother said, well, what about, like, what if we, there was a way to deal with those two things? If we, neither one of those two books worked, how to make a wife or how to deal with mother. But what if, you know, and he was, because this brother and sister, they loved to cook because their father was a cooper. And they were always learning recipes when their mother was teaching them and then changing, well, let's put this in there, you know, changing recipes around. And then the brother said, and plus he was missing talcum, and we have talcum here. You know, that's what a stepmother puts in her hair and on her forehead. And the sister said, oh, have you ever kissed a forehead, the taste of talcum? And the sister said, you're right. Also called for the sap of cone of pine, and we have that around our house. And so the brother said, okay, we'll figure this out. And then he called, stepmother, come. And he said, could I speak with you about my sister? And she said, about what? And he said, well, it's private. I'd like to talk to you. And he was making out, she's asleep, you know, come on, let's talk. And the stepmother said, okay. And then the brother said to the stepmother, you know, it's my sister doing all this. I'd rather, like, what you want me to give you father's things? I don't, will you keep us here or will you keep me here? And he was playing her, obviously. He loved his sister greatly. But he said, you know, I would like to work with you. And, you know, my sister's up to something. I think she's going to, when we get into town, she's going to come with us. Don't worry about tomorrow. She said, but tomorrow, when she gets into town, she might join the nunnery or something. And the stepmother said, And she said, well, we'll have to take a different path because the covenant or whatever the convent is, on the way. So we'll take a longer road. And the brother said, also, I got to use the potty, by the way. And she said, go ahead, go quickly. And the brother got the talcum. And the sister, meanwhile, like she had prepared, you know, faked out where the brother and the sister would be. And then snuck out of the room and unlocked the window from the outside. You know, because it was just a simple bolt. And, you know, snuck back in and got under her bed or something. I don't know, like a... And then the brother returned and the stepmother locked it. And the brother said, you know, I just want to, you know, be okay. And the stepmother said, that's fine. Good work. Just play dumb. And he said, okay, I'm so tired. Thank you, stepmother. I just had a tummy ache. And the stepmother closed the door. And then as they waited until they thought she was asleep. And then they snuck out the window. And they got the cone of pine, and the brother had taken the talcum from the bathroom. And then they returned and traveled deep into the woods, and it took a few days of travel. Because they had, you know, they got lost a few times, and they were listening for the stepmother the whole time. And hiding out, and eventually they found the alchemist's cabin once again, or the cottage. And they returned to the root cellar, and they opened both the books, How to Make a Wife and How to Deal with Mother. And they started mixing, and, you know, it was, you know, it's very straightforward. These alchemy is like a recipe. So all of it was, you know, it was just a matter of combining the two and then having things. And then they had to make, like they said, we have to have a doll of a grandmother or a wife. And they said, which one? And then they had to wait for a storm, and they had everything wired up. Like they created a wood doll that looked like a grandmotherly wife, or a motherly wife. I'm not sure. I wasn't there, you know, the children, they were laughing so many times, and they mixed the powder, and they even had to rub it on themselves. And then the storm came. And they waited for the thunder and the lightning, and then they were chanting, you know, wife, 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 come deal with mother, a wife. She's worse than no other. But they were changing, stepmother or nurse. And then they said, well, we can't change. And then the thunder came and the rain came. And at some point, all the candles went out, and brother and sister held themselves close, but they weren't overcome with it. They said, well, okay. And then there was a light at the top of the stairs, a warm, calm light. I guess I was mixed up. I think they were just trying to get a wife. I think I pre-projected on the story, but then it was a light being thrown off by a lantern. And at first they thought it was the stepmother, so they hid and they froze. And then there was a voice, a kindly voice, oh, children, are you down there? And the brother peeked his head up and he saw a kindly older woman coming down the stairs. And he said, ma'am, are you lost in the storm? We can help you. And she said, what are you doing down here in this basement? And the brother said, oh, it's a long tale of woe, ma'am, but we have water upstairs, warm water, and she wasn't wet, though. And the brother said, well, how are you so dry? There's a terrible storm outside. We're here to keep you warm. We don't have much food to share. And she said, well, I'm here to help you, you silly gooses. And the sister looked, and the wooden owl was gone. And the brother and the sister said, what do you mean? And she said, well, I'm your fairy godmother. I'm here to help deal with your stepmother. And they said, well, what do you mean? And she said, you called me here, didn't you? And the sister said, she smells of talcum. We added to it. And they said, well, we're sorry. We were trying to get a wife nurse for our father to replace our stepmother. And she said, well, I could help you with all this, you silly children. And she said, sit down and tell me a tale of woe. I've seen it and I've heard it 1,000 times. And they said, okay. They said, well, here's a tale of woe. So they told her the tale of woe. And just as they were finishing, the door of the cabin opened once again. And the stepmother came in and she was quite upset. And she was yelling. And she said, I know you're down here in this root cellar, blah, blah, blah. And the fairy godmother, which we'll call Penelope, she's not a proto-fairy. She's an alchemy fairy. I don't know what the difference. Again, it's a folklore. Doesn't make sense to me. But they create whatever. So she said to them, well, we'll have to deal with her. She does not sound very nice at all. And the children said, what to do? And she said, we'll work it out. She said, I have an idea for starters. She loves money, doesn't she not, as you told me. And she said, a bit of cobweb here, and a dust behind the ears, some fancy gold chain, and blah, 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 to bring your stepmother far but near, or something. And she changed the two children into these luxurious coats, covered in gold chains and rings and even a crown for the sister. And she said, go up there and we will come up with a plan. And they said, well, what is the plan? She said, tell her. She said, don't worry. She said, tell her you found a way to get even more gold. And so they went up the stairs and the stepmother said, what are you wearing? And then she realized they were covered in riches, and she said, you steal from your father. And they said, no, 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 stepmother. And she said, who are you talking to? And they said, no one. We were pretending we were fancy royals. And she said, where do you get all this royal stuff from? And the brother said, I have pockets full of gold coins. And he showed them to the stepmother. And it was solid gold coins. And her eyes lit up, and she said, where did you get it from? And the brother said, well, we found it here. And she said, is there more? And the brother said, perhaps. And she said, perhaps what? He said, I'll give you this gold if we see our father. And she said, what if someone comes? He goes, no one will ever find the gold within the cabin unless sister and I tell. And so she took the gold from him. He gave her one coin payment, and then they went and saw his father. And then she said, give me the rest of the gold. And the brother said, well, I could spend it on you. And then they went to town. And this was like a montage, I would say. They went to clothes shopping. And she started spending the gold. And soon the gold was out. And the children said, well, you're not going to spend any gold on our father. Like, this woman sells cool water that would be warm by the time we return it to him. But he likes it. And she said, pish, bash, pish, the money's gone. And then this became a cycle where she said, where do you get the money from? And the brother said, he said, well, I could show you, but you have to be a child to get it. And so they went back to the cabin. And meanwhile, the fairy godmother was feeding the children. And she said, okay, this is the plan. And so the brother said, come, it's in the root cellar. And so the root cellar, while they were gone, the fairy godmother changed into a root cellar. And the great furnace of the alchemist, she had changed into like a small portal, like a grate in the wall. And the boy said, yes, you must climb through this portal. Now, she had just done it with illusion. And the boy said, only sister and I can fit through there. And, like, we go in, and you go into this, down this chamber, and, you wiggle, 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 and then you get the gold out. And there's some nice clothes in there. And she said, go get me some more gold. And she tried to negotiate with the children, and the children said, well, no, we just won't get the gold for you. But the stepmother, her wheels started turning, so she stopped, she tried to go through once, but she was too large. So she stopped eating. But meanwhile, the children, they were eating. Any chance they had and she wasn't looking, the stepmother or the fairy godmother would bring the children treats and sweets. And for a time, there was a little bit of a calmness, because she would spend the money and the children would be eating. And the father, the children said, well, when are you going to help our father? And they were making sure the father was aware of this because of this magic globe. The complicated part, the father was a fool anyway. He'd been fooled. But so at some point, the children got to, one day they went to the cabin and with the stepmother in tow, and she said, we need more gold. And the boy tried to go through and he couldn't fit through the hole. And then the sister tried to get through, and she couldn't fit through the hole. And the stepmother, she was not pleased, blah, 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 blah. And she looked in there, and just at the far end, she could see the glint of something deep within the tube. And she said, no more food for either one of you. And she tried to go in, but she was, and then she stopped eating, too, further. And then they went back a week later. But meanwhile, the children were secretly eating the whole time, so they didn't lose any weight anyway. And the boy tried, and the sister tried. And the stepmother said, well, and then the boy said, well, I just won't go, if we won't bring you the gold. And she said, well, then I will go myself. And she climbed in, to go get the gold. And right as she got in there, the boy and the sister, they closed the door. And then they said, by the power of alchemy, we are going to change your state. And the stepmother, her state was changed permanently. And the children returned to the father. They said thank you to the fairy godmother. And she said, well, I will go and continue to help other children in need now. And they said, could you help us with our father? And she said, well... She said, take some cool water, mix it with some talcum and some sap of pine, and he will be fine. And then he did that, and his allergies went. She said, that's what he's allergic to, talcum and pine. And she said, it's a tincture. And they said, that doesn't make any sense. And she said, well, he's also allergic to your stepmother. Now she's gone. And she said, that was just a symbolic thing to get him over the hump, but it'll wear off. He was really allergic to her talcum and her demeanor. And they said, really? And she said, really? And so they returned home, and they helped the father get back in good shape and good condition. And they lived fairly happily ever after, like a middle-class lifestyle, the nucleus, just the three of them, until the children got older. And then the father did, make some friends. But he said, and I said, what are we supposed to learn here? Like, we love you. If your mother doesn't like alchemy and you love it, and we said, so we had a great class discussion about, the wishes and there's a lot of nasty talk about stepmothers. And I think some of that was passive aggressive and Shelley was behind it. But some of it was the truth. So I could live with the truth. And so it was very enjoyable. And I guess I think that was it. My little letter man and my baby here, Cinderella's baby, my little we will keep you here with these tails and in the bed here. You know, that I get to lie on in some way, in some sense, you know, ooze on to rock you both and keep you both asleep. Good night. I want to thank all the people that supported the show on Patreon recently. Andrew, Hillary, and Anne, or Annie, thank you. Lisa, Will, and Courtney, thanks and good night. Margot, Liz, and Rachel, thanks and good night. Did I see Courtney, Will, and Lisa? Thank you and good night. Sarah, Kayla, and Craig, thanks and good night. Llewellyn, Kenneth, and Kristen, thanks and good night. Marianne, Harm, and Jenna, thanks and good night. Katie, Marissa, and Elaine, thanks and good night. Genevieve, Mario, and Jay, thanks and good night. Aurora, Vicky, and Ellie, thanks and good night. Leah, Amy, and John, thank you and good night. Anne Marie, Joni, and Tanya, thanks and good night. Kelly, Zemcat, and Tony, thank you and good night. Crystal, Amber, and Patricia, thanks and good night. Claudia, Tyler, and Elle, thank you and good night. Ethan, Chris, and Mermaldad, thank you and good night. Jim, Ariel, and Andrea, thank you and good night. Adrienne, Deborah, and Alex, thanks and good night. Andy, Mark, and Erica, thanks and good night. Helen, Carolyn, and Amber, thank you and good night. And Paul, Amanda, and Ashley, thanks and good night. And over on PayPal, I want to thank Jennifer, Leslie, and Priscilla, thanks and good night. Leslie, Kara, and Joseph, thanks and good night. Anne, Andrew, and Zach, thanks and good night. Whitney, Claire, and Miko, thanks and good night. Kayleen, Wesley, and Emma, thanks and good night. Stephen and Jason, thanks, thank you, and good night. And then over on Venmo, I want to thank Preston, Frankie, and Jeff. Thanks so much and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? and building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.